Today on Real Radio.
Do you see why it's wrong to tell God, I believe in Jesus. Yep, absolutely. Died on the cross for my sins. I'll receive that truth, but I'm going to do this. And we begin to think, now I'm really acceptable to God. And I'm going to make sure that I do all these other great things. And God really thinks a lot of me now. You know what you're doing? You're sewing fig leaves together.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In fact, we're in a mini-series taken from the first 8 verses of chapter 5. Where the apostle writes about how different our heavenly bodies are going to be from the ones we have right now. In fact, he uses the word tent to describe our temporal earthly bodies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now continuing his series of lessons called Tell Me More About Heaven.
The verse says in verse 2 here, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. This is pretty amazing. The two English words, earnestly desiring, is one word in Greek. And you might be quite surprised what that word might be. First of all, in its most gentle form, it means to dote upon. What comes to your mind when you see someone doting upon another? To dote. Or to crave. That's a little stronger, is it not? Crave. Craving. Interesting. Look at it now. Craving to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. But the word's even stronger than that. The word means to lust after. God wants the Christian to know that he's a Christian because that Christian lusts for heaven. Man, you Christians always talking about heaven. Always, what a morbid thing. What a morbid thing. Are you kidding me? You like what's going on around this world? We are to lust not only for heaven. It gets even better than that. See the word habitation? That word means a noble residence. Ooh. The word means a well-made dwelling, a house. A house, the word means fixed to a firm foundation versus a tent. Isn't that funny? Think about a tent. Man, you guys, what was it, Thursday morning? The wind hit? Man, I tell you, at 5:15 in the morning, the wind hit. And we had no idea it was coming. And tarps and stuff just went flying by. And I thought, this is perfect, God, for Sunday morning. You warned us with this upcoming message that our tents that we have, these bodies, could be blown away in an instant in the wind. By the way, Kerry, I'm going to butcher his name, I'm sure. If you know it, shout it out. Kerry Ludgrove from the group Kansas. What's his name? Livgreen, whatever. The guy from Kansas. You know that rock and roll band? Great story. Remember that song, Dust in the Wind? He wrote that song after he'd gotten saved. He wrote the song, and for 1 year in his band, he was struggling with, how do I get out of this lifestyle? And then when he shut the band down, the drummer said, man, I'm so glad you shut this down. Seeing how we're all breaking up, I got to tell you something. Kerry, I'm a Christian. And Kerry said, I'm a Christian. They had both accepted Christ. Neither one had shared the fact. And the group Kansas evaporated, dust in the wind. He was, go read the song or go listen to the song. My pastor said to listen to rock and roll. That song, listen to it. He wrote it after he got saved. And you and I want to, listen, be careful. We want to like root down and hang on. And we've got sand beneath our feet, and we're nailing our tent into the ground, and we think we're going to be here in an immovable way. And a wind is coming. It's called life. And heaven, God's abode. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Listen to this. I love Romans 8, 22 and 23. Listen. It says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Go ahead and keep the verse up on the screen. I love this verse, verse 22. Look at this. For we know that the whole creation groans. You ever watch the Nature Channel? Animal Planet? You see all the stuff? You see this beautiful gazelle going across the African plain and jumps right into the mouth of a cheetah. Blood, hair, guts flying every which way. People are going, oh, nature. God is, nature is God, and God is nature, and God is the tree. And God is, look at God, and it's always really cute stuff. God is the bunny and Bambi. God, and God is the birdie. And then as you're watching the beautiful dove fly by, a hawk comes by, and there's a big plume of feathers. If nature's your God, you got a wacko God, man. That's crazy. That's scary. Then why does this stuff happen? Ah, God said, listen, when he made everything, it was very good. Remember that? And then Adam and Eve, mom and dad, came along and blew up the whole thing. They messed it all up and death came into the world. And the Bible tells us that from their sin, death entered in. And listen, the lion. Now look, the Bible says in the millennium when Christ returns. Are you an environmentalist? That's great. Listen, here's the deal. If you're really an environmentalist, you should be a Christian today. And I'll tell you the reason why. The Bible says Jesus comes back and fixes the environment perfect. He so fixes it so perfectly that he even causes thorns to bloom into flowers. So you know where everyone's going to want to drive in the millennium? To the desert. Can you imagine what the desert's going to look like? If a thorn, can you imagine a cactus exploding into a flowery thing? Jesus comes back, he sets the environment right. Now, I'm all for environmental stewardship. Our God made it, we appreciate it the most. But here's the amazing thing to realize. That God did not engineer sin into his creation. That's human doing. You understand that? We have nobody to blame but our human family. And we need Christ to change our hearts. Candy Crowley on CNN News asked a panel, what will change the heart of those who are self-radicalized? What's happening? And Avi Jasser responded and he said, it's not self-radicalization. What happened in Boston was an event caused by Islam, and this guy's a Muslim. The Muslim said was caused by radical Islam. Their hearts were changed and they became terrorists. He said, what has to happen? It's got to happen in the heart. And isn't that an invitation for the gospel? It can change a home, change a marriage, change a child, change a family, change a nation. Jesus Christ, he brings life. But listen, we're fighting against a world. And then the third thing is wickedness. Verse 3, we're fighting against wickedness. The Bible says, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Mark that, verse 3. This is exciting stuff. I could stay right here all day. If indeed, watch Paul. Paul is saying, attention, believers, if indeed, you can hear him. Watch, it gets better. Having been, past tense, he's speaking to Christians. Christian, having been, what, clothed, past tense again. Do you hear this? Look, this is the third time I've preached this message today, and I'm more excited about it than ever. So I need you to get excited about it. He is saying to us, Christians, whatever's going on in your life is so powerful. It's got such a grip in your heart that it's past tense, the power of it. Watch this. So, having been clothed, we shall not be found unclothed or naked. This is a great, great guarantee. What does this word mean? Having been clothed, the word means this. If you would put on, because out of the 1610, 1611 English is where this word comes from. But rooted, of course, in the original Greek. Watch this. The word speaks of a lord or of a king over a kingdom or over a realm, like a lord, like the lord of the house. And he has a valet. And what does he do? The lord stands up and he gets dressed by the valet. Puts on his clothes. I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know. No one's going to put on my underwear but me. But hey, that's the deal. That's what they did back then. And so the king or the lord was there and he got all dolled up and everything gets put on him and he's all cleaned up and spruced up. This word means this, watch this, that there is a dressing that is placed upon you. You do nothing. Are you listening? This is so cool. Watch this. Whoever these people are who he's speaking to in Corinth, which he's speaking to us here at Calvary, You stand there, and having received Christ, something like a valet clothes you with a robe that has been given to you. You have not made it. You didn't sew it together. You didn't do anything but receive it. It's placed upon you. Do you see the picture of this forming? It's placed on you, and it announces that you are a child of the Lord of the house. You are identified. Listen, all of King David's daughters, and there are a lot of them walking around Jerusalem. No one, look, you saw her, and that's right there. See her? She's in the marketplace. That's one of David's daughters. She wore a robe that signified that her dad was David. And today, you wear a robe if you're a Christian that your dad is Abba. Amen. Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're wearing a robe that identifies you out from the world. And it's been put upon you. Now watch, the moment you go from that and get religious, this is what happens. God supplies you or offers you a robe, and you might say, well, I'll take that robe, but I'm gonna do some things to make it better. Number one, you've just insulted the grace of God. You cannot add to the finished work of Christ. Jesus died on the cross, and he provided for you that robe. Are you with me? And for you and I to say, well, you know what? I'll just add this. I'll just do this instead, or I'll add this to my apparel, is called human or religious works. Do you see why it's wrong to tell God, I believe in Jesus. Yep, absolutely. Died on the cross for my sins. I'll receive that truth, but I'm going to do this. And we begin to think, now I'm really acceptable to God. And I'm going to make sure that I do all these other great things. And God really thinks a lot of me now. You know what you're doing? You're sewing fig leaves together. And you're trying to put it on a garment that Jesus bought with his blood. You cannot add to your righteousness the work that Jesus wrought on the cross. And the Bible says here that if that be true in your life, you will never be found naked, unclothed. Of course, he's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about what he spoke of in Revelation 3, verse 15, for example. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, an age, by the way, an epoch of time that we're living in today. Laodicean period. He says, I know your works. Jesus said to that church age that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and what? Naked. They had missed the righteousness of God. They were a church. They had a steeple on the top. They had hymnals, or they had the trappings of a church, and they had no righteousness of God. They had religion, and they had missed him. What a tremendous thing that is. Think about that for a moment. Jesus mentions this in a parable in Matthew 22, verse 11. He speaks about the same thing in a parabolic term. He speaks of himself and of those in the coming judgment. Verse 11, Matthew 22. But when he, Jesus says, the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, listen to this. How did you come in without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that there's a day coming, listen, that what you are wearing will matter. And any attempt to blend in, there'll be a day when it will be that the light will divide. And none of our excuses will work. None of our efforts will work. It doesn't matter how great our motives were or how much we paid in taxes or how much we tithe or walked the little old lady from Pasadena across the sidewalk. It's not going to matter. Notice here in this parable, Jesus says, in the end, the king is going to want to know what you're wearing. And because the man was found to be as good as naked, he didn't have the right stuff on. What was it? He didn't have the apparel of the righteousness of God. And I want you to think about that for a moment. This is very powerful stuff he's saying to us here. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. He. Did you hear that? Jesus does it for you. Pastor, I can't think. This Christianity is so hard. I just can't do it. Thank God. Give up and stop trying to do it. You have missed it. Christianity only works when you come to the edge and you say, I can't do it. He never asked you to do it. He asked you to believe in him. And in that moment, the valet, the Holy Spirit clothes you in the righteousness of Jesus. You stand there and he puts your new robe on. And have you noticed, I don't know, I think it's true, that when you dress a certain way, you act a certain way. Have you noticed that? I stand up straighter when I'm wearing a suit. Much of it's because I'm so uncomfortable in one. But the tie, look, the pants are tight. The weight, you always wear pants tighter than what you should be wearing, but the suit, it's never, because you never want to buy a new suit, so you're like trying to get as many miles out of this suit. And it's like you gain 10 pounds, so it's like you're sucking at it. And so you're wearing like this, and how you doing? And then the tights, like, you got this going on and you got this going up in here. And you act different. I like when my husband's in a suit, he acts so mature, he can't breathe. Every man knows Satan invented a tie anyway. But we groan in this body. We're groaning. We all feel the effects. And that's God warning us. Every time we get out of bed, that's God warning us. Look, you live in a tent. You're just passing through. That's why as I get older, I buy more Advil. Now I buy it. I go to Costco to get my ibuprofen in the big Econo bag. Gonna start, like I told you before, an elastic necklace with aspirin right here and then a little Advil right here. I can chew on it and put it back, have it readily available for any moment. Got a headache? Oh, I just move that little necklace over here and chew on that one. Why? Because we're perishing, man. We're groaning. And as a Christian, as I get older, it's exciting. It's great to get older as a Christian. It's like, come on, Jesus, come on. You know, the young people, I know this third service, a lot of young people in here. Well, Pastor, I mean, look, I'm so hot. Let's all just remember this. Everybody looks better with their clothes on. Everybody looks better with their clothes on. But we're groaning in this life. He warns us about that. The fifth point in our study, verses 4 and 5, is this. Is that we have so many questions, do we not? We have so many questions. One of them is, why is there so much heartache and pain going on? Breaks our hearts, yes it does. We understand verse 4, it says, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. Circle the word burdened. Not because we want to be unclothed. He's not saying, I want to die. That's not what it means. He's not saying, I just want to die. I can't take it anymore, I want to die. So what he's saying? He's saying this. We groan right now and we put up with it because we're in this, but we are burdened. This word burdened here in verse 4 is powerful. The word means to be weighed down to the point of a great load. It means to be having the load press into your skin. By the way, those of you who have read Pilgrim's Progress, everybody should read Pilgrim's Progress. What was going on with Christian? What was going on with Pilgrim? He carried a load so heavy. Remember that? He was carrying a load so heavy that he could hardly walk. And in the story, of course, it turns out to be his sin. And he's carrying this load through life. But it got so heavy. And I think Bunyan must have known this verse and used it. Because the word implies that the burdens of life weigh into our skin. So heavy. You know, right now, running around in the desert heat and on mountain cliffs, in Afghanistan and Iraq are our soldiers. And just to give you a little bit, imagine last week when it was, what, 95 degrees last week? Take a cement bag, go get an 80, 90-pound cement bag and put it on your back and go run around Chino Hills in 95 degrees, and you've got it easy compared to what those guys are doing. And I know the packs have been designed in such a way to not cut into their shoulders, but listen, at the end of the day, when they take their packs off, these guys are studs, man. They're healthy, young, and they're built, and their shoulders have indentations from the pack. That's exactly the word Paul uses here, that we as Christians in this world are burdened to the point. We see all the stuff taking place in this world around us, and our hearts are aching over the injustice, the pain, and the sorrow and sin of life. That's another proof that you're a Christian. And that's a great thing. We have heartache. The next thing is that, will there be joy in heaven? Oh, there's going to be joy. There's not only joy in heaven. Listen, only our God can do this. How he is so faithful is beyond my mind, that he even brings us joy in our hardest, most difficult sorrows here now. There is going to be joy. It begins this way for us, knowing in this body that, verse 4 says, that mortality. Touch your skin. This mortality will be swallowed up by life. That's good news. Listen to what William Grinnell, the great Puritan preacher, said, talking about mortality being swallowed up by life, talking about this temporal life, life of battle and sin being swallowed up by eternity with God. He says, heaven's number of glorified saints is made up of justified sinners. I like that. How do you get to heaven? Anybody know how to get to heaven? You got to trust in Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? Savior of the world. What do I need a Savior for? Because I'm a sinner. So wait a minute. If I believe and trust in Christ, agreeing with him that I'm a sinner, I have sinned against God and I have offended his laws and his heart, that he'll take my sins and give me his righteousness, and I can have a brand new, I can restart my life? Yes? Wow. His work justifies my life? That's right. He's the atonement. Then now I see how heaven is full of sinners, having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's good news, because all of a sudden I qualify. Now, for the person today's going, well, I mean, that's very dramatic, Pastor. I'm glad you qualify, but I'm quite fine personally. You're so far from heaven, you don't even have a clue.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Tell Me More About Heaven. It's taken from the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul explains how our bodies in eternity will be different from our temporal earthly bodies. Tell Me More About Heaven is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And speaking of which, Pastor Jack has a great treatment on this topic on MP3 CD. It's called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? How Do We Get From Here to Heaven on MP3 CD is all yours for your contribution of any amount to this broadcast outreach called Real Radio. How Do We Get From Here to Heaven features a total of 17 messages in all, which focus on the requirements as laid out in Scripture for us to spend eternity with our Creator. Call, click, or write. Just be sure to mention that title by name, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, on MP3 CD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'd like to reach us by phone? That's easy. 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to get us by mail, send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.